Good afternoon and welcome to the crypto market update. I've got Crypto Mark here. Mark, it's been a while since we had the swap across date, but we've April 6th today. We're going to make this happen.
Absolutely. Salutations, everybody. And yeah, great to be back, man. It's been a while. It
So
has been a
we have done 17. This is the 18th. It's
well,
taken us
lucky
2 years.
number.
It's taken us 2 years to get to the 18 level mark. But anyway,
Nice.
Mark, before we get started, I want to just make sure that all discussions in this episode, as in past episodes, are for informational purposes only. And Swap Across is not soliciting legal, business environment, or tax advice. You should consult your own advisors as to those matters. References to any securities or digital assets are for illustration purposes only and do not constitute an investment recommendation or offer to provide investment advisory services. Mark, it's been a while. Where do we go to the charts? Do you want to jump to the?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's a hot time, man. Hot time to be on the charts. Oh, I need to get some screen sharing
You
going
now
on there.
are able to screen share.
Yeah, all right. Let's hang on here. Let's see what we
Bitcoin. So
got.
when we last chatted, what was Bitcoin at? Before you jump into that, I'm going to just check.
Lord. It's been a while. How long ago? When was the last time we did one?
So
Let's go
Bitcoin was
back a
around
week.
45,000. Boy, that seems like a decade ago.
45,000? Wow, that was like February, man. It can't have been February.
Early January, we did the last time we chatted. So
Wow, it's
on
been that
this,
long?
we've
Yeah, that makes
obviously
sense.
chatted since then, but yeah, so there you go. That gives you some perspective.
Wow, lots has happened since then. As you can see here, this is the weekly chart. So I'm on the weekly here. So you can see every week has just been pumping, man. And like you get like pump, 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 and then like a little bit of a breather, and then continue pump. But I mean, if you look at the monthly chart, I mean, it's just like, man, like look at that. Look at that. This was February. It was just a masher green candle.
But you know what,
And then.
resistance, it went down by like 65-ish for a while, and it was like this, it was sort of resistance level. I don't know where you see that in the charts from the past couple
Yeah,
weeks
right
or so.
here. So you can see on the weekly, it's finding resistance here on the 20-day moving average. Sorry, 9-day moving average.
So it
Yeah,
found a
so you can.
floor. It found a floor, and it popped up
Yeah,
to
it's a
70
really good
something.
sign. You know, it's I think at the moment it's taking a much needed breather because it can't pump any. I mean, look at the chart, just like it's literally off the chart, you know, but it's insane. It's just been pumping. And I read yesterday, or I just read a tweet today. It said yesterday alone, BlackRock accumulated like 420 million for their spot ETF. And I think someone told me like since it's been approved, they're already at like a few billion now in Bitcoin accumulation. So they're like, I mean, they're just gearing up to pump this thing. And I mean, with that being said, like Bitcoin halving coming up, you know, I think actually I have the halving as one of the articles here. Yeah, maybe you can move that up one. But so I mean, you know, this is what the chart's doing in my opinion. And again, it's just my personal opinion, not financial advice. But you know, just taking a bit of a breather here. You can see you know, it's a really good sign that it hasn't sold down. It just means that there's still so much buying pressure on it. And I think we could see it, you know, probably this month. Tread water a little bit, so it's gonna you'll see it between like 60,000-70,000, I think, you know, between that range. And then next month we'll see it continue to go up, would be my expectation. And you know, by the end of the year, I definitely think we can hit 100,000, if not earlier, probably by June
See,
or
I
July.
think this, we've talked about this in the past, and I've heard this on other podcasts where they talk about how the price and the consistent volume of activity is required, not requiring, it's causing people to build on the Bitcoin platform as opposed to just Ethereum because they've got the tremendous volume. So, I hear time and again that they're making the sort of layer two level ETFs and there's ordinal. So there's things happening because of this price. And the volatility, is there something, remember that we talked about the VIX, which is for ordinary stocks, do they have that same measure for Bitcoin or crypto?
Not really. I mean, the VIX itself is, it looks at like the number of put option contracts versus call option contracts. So I don't think they've ever really put something together like that for crypto. I don't know how effective it would be. I think maybe like with Bitcoin it could be, but yeah, I mean it's not a bad bad
It's interesting when the price went up. You know, I've heard some of these exchange, these DeFi or, you know, the exchanges, we're making the most money we've ever made in their short 2-3 year life because people are taking out some profits, right? I mean, I don't know, but on the down low, but when I listen to, say, the Bloomberg guys talk about ETFs, and they like, the traders like the volume up and down. They like that volatility versus exchanges. Well, does it make the same for exchanges? I don't know. What's your view on that?
You know, I mean, it's still the same thing, right? I mean, you're just trading on the price of the underlying asset, right? Yeah. So, you know, it doesn't matter if you're trading it on ETF or if you're trading it directly off an exchange. I mean, you can still short, or I think really the volatility is it gives you the opportunity to be long the asset or short the asset. So, you know, it gives you the potential to make money both ways, right?
So is there anything interesting you want to share with us? Say that the moving day, the MACD down there. Is there anything specific that you? Because I know you've done this in the past, and you've wowed me and the two listeners.
I mean, you can see it's really just cool. And also, if we're looking at, look at the RSI here, right? So, and it's I'm on the monthly chart. Yeah. So since January, it was like RSI 70. I'm looking at the middle one here. You know, RSI 70, then February went up to 83, 85 last month, and now it's cooling off a bit, right? So now it's down to 80. And I would expect, it continue. It's just really hot, man. I mean, if you look at,
what's RSI, Mark? Look what at does this, it stand for?
Relative Strength Index. I mean, specifically, what it does, I can't remember exactly what it measures, but I know, if the RSI is over 80, or 70 or over, but people can, I mean,
it's overbought. If it's over 70 or over 80, it's overbought.
Right. Or, I mean, yeah, subjective, it's like how you want to set that. But if it's over 70 or definitely over 80, it's overbought. And then if it's under 30 or under 20, it's oversold. Right. So people use it as indicators if it's time to buy or sell. Right.
Right.
So you can see as I hit 85, it started selling off again. But I would say this is just you have to use all the indicators together, right?
Sure.
You can't just look at one specific one. But it's still, I mean, if we zoom out on the chart here, look at this chart, right? So this is since August of last year. And I mean, okay, let's say September of last year, right? Every month has just been it's just been ripping it since September of last year, right? So
it's not parabolic. Some curves are just so astronomical. The curve is almost 90 degree vertical.
I mean, look at this one though. If we stop it at if we stop it at last month, it's almost like a 90 degree. Like it's just crazy.
It went crazy, and then it's kind of
stopping in February. But yeah, I mean, but the buying pressure is since that spot ETF has been approved, right? And you can see it's just been really pumping. It's a really good sign. I think we would see definitely at some point this year, if not this summer, we'll see 100,000 Bitcoin if the trajectory continues.
Sure.
And who knows where it'll go from there. It's a really good sign though, I think. And if we're looking at the MACD, so it's just kind of reinforcing each other. It helps, if you zoom in a bit, but, and again, I'm on the monthly chart here, which is the long-term view. But you can see here, at some point back in, this is November, it's moving average convergence, divergence. So looking at I think it's the 21 day or whatever, or the 9 day has crossed. So the 9 day has crossed the 21 day. It's very faint here, but you can see it as the gap is moving here with the purple, which I believe is the 9 day versus over the 21 day. So when the short term moving average crosses the long term moving average, that's a bullish signal. And then if the short term moving average crosses the long term going back down, then it's a selling signal. But you can see here, so I crossed here, going up, and so that's and since then it's just been bullish. The gap's wider and wider. If we see it starting to cross back over, that would potentially signal a sell. But yeah, but we'll see. You have to look again. You can't look at them individually. You kind of have to look at them all together, right? And see what's the story that it's telling.
Well, let's go. You've got some articles teed up there. Maybe we should pop into the some articles
Absolutely. Well, I mean,
that you've seen recently.
On the topic of Bitcoin, we got Bitcoin halving ahead, right? And actually, I think on the site it was said 13 days, I think. Estimated like 13 days, 4 hours, something, something. So it's coming up, by mid-April here. Expected to take place on 420. So hilarious. I don't know how they timed that, but that's pretty
So,
funny.
Mark, when well, I mean, that's interesting. Do you, what does it mean? I'm just a quick definition, if you in your mind. I mean, I have a thought, but can you get what does it mean to have?
So I mean, since the beginning of Bitcoin, right, the payout rewards to the miners is like a set amount, and then as it reaches like this hash rate threshold, then it like it's how it was designed by Satoshi Nakamoto, right? And then it was designed so that it would like go on for a really long time, but all it means is like now, like every so it works out to be about every 4 years that the amount of rewards that are paid out, it's cut in half. So for instance, like initially it was like 10 Bitcoin per block, and then like 4 years later it was 5 Bitcoin per block, and then it was like 2.5 Bitcoin per block, and then 1.25, like, and then just continues
Okay,
like
so
that.
the miners get rewarded less of a reward for the value of their the trade. Okay.
Exactly.
Or
It's
not
a
the value of the trade, what they contribute to the block. Sorry, that's what I meant to say.
it's a validated block.
Wow. Okay. So that's interesting. So the happening, that's a technical issue. It'd be interesting to know how that was built into the system, right? I mean,
Oh, I mean, I had read, like, I can't remember if he invented that or if it was like, because I know like Satoshi, whoever he was, he kind of combined a few different ideas into one, because there was like some other like kind of cryptocurrency, not cryptocurrency, but some kind of like virtual currency payments that he would like took some ideas from that, and then like took some ideas from the SH201, which is a cryptography, and combined it all together. So yeah, I mean, but it's pretty genius how it works, right? Because like I think even with these halvings continuing, it's still projected that they'll be able to mine Bitcoin until like the year 2100. But the problem is like now it just like it requires more hash rate to mine. So these guys are like using more electricity because they're starting using more miners. So think about if you're a Bitcoin miner and you were making like $10 million this year at your current setup. Well, next year you're only making $5 million. So what are you gonna do? You're gonna double your operation, right, to make that same money back. You know what I mean?
Or you knock people in half, you cut your staff or
Yeah, one of the
your
two. I think
quotas.
they'll probably like to see that money coming in, right? But who knows? I mean, yeah, it's the mining industry is tough. Bitcoin mining, it's a pretty cutthroat game, I think, out there.
Well, the
But yeah,
cost, and
that's
then there's
that.
that there's the cost as well will go up because if you take NVIDIA's and their GPU units, right, which are the main. They're using them for AI and algorithms, but I understand it's the same chips or those units that are used to mine to do the mathematical calculations for the blockchain or the Bitcoin blockchain.
For Bitcoin mining, so they use what's called ASICs, which is application specific
Right. They don't use the
grid
GPUs.
circuit
They
or
use
something like that.
ASICs, not the GPUs anymore.
Yeah, I think like the GPUs, I'm not sure if they've made it. I haven't been following the mining industry for a while, but I know they were using like the GPUs to mine other coins, and then
You're probably right. You're
I
right.
don't
That's
know if
right.
they've now
Assets.
like been able to convert the GPUs into being able to mine Bitcoin. I'm not
Okay.
sure. It's been a while since I've looked into
Yeah.
mining, but
Okay.
yeah, I mean it's still pretty cool. I think I would still abide by the charts, and everyone always thinks like, oh, the halving means
Well,
that
but
Bitcoin's going
the
to pump,
charts, Mark.
like.
The charts put sense into, when people say, "Oh, should I buy it?" And then, well, I can't tell you whether you should buy it or not. You need to make your own decision. And you've said that many times, and I've heard people say that you need to make your own decision. But you put, there's sort of this. It puts more sense to it. The rational, right? It's rational, more exuberance versus just going out and buying it because everyone else says to buy it, or your broker says to buy it, or whoever.
Yeah, I think like my expectation would be this month probably still going to be pretty static, like trading between the ranges of 60 to 70K. I wouldn't even like be surprised if we see a sell down after 420. Everyone, like, it's funny because everyone expects like 420 is gonna pump, But then next month, I would expect like May is going to start pumping again. It's just like right now it's taking this little cool off period because it's been so hot the last few months. But I would expect like May, if the trajectory continues, that we'll see
Sure.
it hit over 70,000 again.
It's ironic that the word 420, you know, that's a big cannabis. It's a big reference to
Right.
cannabis as well, right?
Hilarious. Yeah. I don't know how they plan that. That's pretty funny. But
It's
yeah.
amazing. But so 420 is a big day in the cannabis calendar as well. So it'd be the two together, two worlds, non-natural pairings, but they certainly will come together on the 420.
Right.
The crypto
I
and the
mean,
cannabis.
I think they're, who knows that, because I was at East Denver and, oh, sorry, I shouldn't, sorry, I'll something later. I was at East Denver like a while back, was I think on March. Yeah. And like some of the merch are like, you know, because each of the projects have their little stand set up.
Yeah.
And some of the merch that one of the projects was giving out was like weed rolling papers and stuff. I mean, weed is legal. It's
That's right,
legally allowed
Colorado.
to sell. Just, like they have dispensaries and stuff in Colorado.
Yeah.
So in Denver, they had like it's legal. But it was funny because I'm like, you know, they're handing out like rolling papers and like weed paraphernalia as merch. So 420 Bitcoin. I don't know. Maybe it was online. Who
I
knows?
guess, you know, like if you think crypto, I saw a tweet the other day and someone said, you know, even with the price of Bitcoin and other altcoins are at all-time highs, yet I can't even get, you know, I can't even find a group of people that understand or will talk about it, right? I think it was on Reddit, or I think it was a Reddit post, and I'm like, you know, it's still, people just aren't adopting it, right? Like cannabis is sort of the same. There's still that kind of niche people, and say other gambling or gaming, you know what I mean? Like there's, it's niche, yet these things are growing. They're growing, these niche areas,
Yeah, it
right?
just takes time, right? It's like any, you know, like look at the curve of adoption of technology, right? It's like
Yeah.
it takes a while for that mainstream adoption to happen. But I think, you know, now that we have the big players like BlackRock and some of these big guys
No,
behind
you're
it,
right.
we'll see you know, some changes, I think, in you know, how the adoption, the rate of adoption.
So what
But
else have you got teed up there? It looks like you got a question
just
to ask
sticking
me
with the
too.
Bitcoin thing. So I also noticed, so Paraguay, surprisingly, I don't know if you knew this, but and if you know, if you remember way back in the day from the crypto 528 days, you were looking at doing Bitcoin mining in Paraguay, which is pretty funny.
Oh, I
But I
didn't
saw
know
this
that.
article.
I knew you guys talked about mining, but I didn't realize it was in Paraguay.
Yeah. So Paraguay has one of the largest hydroelectric dams in the world, and they were producing
Wow.
so much power that they didn't know what to do with it.
Yeah.
So they were selling it like really cheap for Bitcoin mining. But now it looks like, so it looks like they're now proposing a law that's going to ban Bitcoin mining in Paraguay. And I think a lot of like the Chinese, because I mean China had you know, they were allowing Bitcoin mining, then they banned it. And once they banned it, a lot of the Bitcoin mining moved to like Kazakhstan and or like Uzbekistan and
Yeah.
Paraguay. And now Paraguay is looking to ban it because they're saying like there's illegal people like illegally using it and not claiming the, you know, not paying the proper like dues for the
Yeah.
power, like
Yeah.
basically stealing power, right?
But
To
that was
do
a big
it.
thing in northern, in Europe, like in Sweden
Yeah.
and Norway, a few years ago. It was that same thing. You know, people were using it when power interest rates were going, or power rates were going up excessively, and here there's people mining crypto, when others are suffering, they're paying high energy bills, and
Yeah, man. Like, I just got our power bill here, and it was like $500 a month. I was like, "How?" Just mad, like
oh, it's air
electricity. And we're not
conditioning.
mining
You got
Bitcoin.
to run the air cons, like in the Middle
Yeah,
East.
it's
Five hundred
ridiculous.
dollars. We lived in the Middle East in Dubai, and it'd be easy, 1,000 or more per month. So,
Holy shit!
yeah.
Yeah, it's
All right,
crazy.
Mark. What else have you got there?
Yeah, I
Bitcoin.
was just. This is actually just an article on Paraguay, and so it was saying like, I was just trying to find out how much Bitcoin mining actually was taking place in Paraguay. And it said it would translate to 1.45% of the total network hash rate. I'm not sure like specifically what that translates into Bitcoin, but you can see here this is so Paraguay, Brazil, they share the same dam. It's it's one of the largest hydro dams in the world. So interesting to see like what if that has an effect on Bitcoin mining.
Sure.
Because a lot of the miners would be forced to relocate and things like that. But yeah. Anyway, next. So this one was, you know, if you're following the Binance
I'm
saga,
not.
no, I mean, it all started with like CZ being arrested for like money laundering and all this stuff. And you know, they had to shut down. I think they had to sell Binance US. But now this one's like interesting. So Nigeria is really cracking down on Bitcoin and stuff as well. And so this there was one exec, and I'm not actually sure if he was like Nigerian, but he was a Binance executive, and he's now been put in jail. But there was another Binance executive that actually escaped, and
Gosh.
he's like on the run, man. So he if you look in the article, he yeah, so was forced to, oh sorry, not him. Where's the other guy? So there was a British lawyer, if I can find it. But he basically like went to it was like mosque or whatever. He was going for like prayer, and he had got some forged documents and got out of the country. I was like, oh my God, like he's literally on, yeah, here's Gamron has been charged alongside Binance for money laundering and tax violation. I'm trying to find the other guy though. I don't know exactly where it was in here. But yeah, it was like he was like full on, you know, like doing some sketchy fraud stuff there. It's pretty crazy.
But it's amazing where it stretches to. I mean, for all, you know, all places you'd think Nigeria, oil, and maybe other, you know, other money, fintech. There's big things going on in fintech in Africa, and then, you know, the guy getting arrested in Nigeria. It seems out of
Yeah,
place.
these are Binance executives, right? And it was like
Yeah.
it's just kind of crazy. I don't know what is going on there, but sounds like a madhouse at Binance. This one's come up recently. Like, so Solana has been such a hot network recently.
Right.
And you know, it's funny, everyone's talking about like, oh, Solana, like they have this crazy transaction per second rate and like blah blah blah, they're the future of crypto. And now like the network's failed a couple of times like in the past, and
Yeah.
well, even last year I think it failed. They had to shut it down temporarily. But now again it's getting congested again, so I don't know if they're ever going to have a proper solution for this. I hope they do. I mean, we're actually planning to launch our token. We're planning to do a pool, a liquidity pool on Solana, just because it's been so hot lately. But this is kind of like worrying, you know, looking at yeah, it's just
Well, one of the
because
articles, I
people
don't
are
know if you
starting to
took
move
that
liquidity off of
article,
it now.
if you took that article on Athena and that whole maker, that whole article about putting liquidity into the system and the rates are paying, you know, I don't know what you see, but I think they're on Ethereum. Athena's on Ethereum. I'm not sure.
Yeah, well, I did some digging into it, and so it looks like they are working with Blast. But that's like those are EVM-based chains, right? So, very interesting. I mean, I kind of looked into it a little bit. Yes, we can move off that. We'll move in. So this actually, I was just
But so
looking.
that I don't know the Solana. I haven't looked at Solana. I hear it up and down, and you know, obviously the stock prices and a lot of people are building on Solana. Maybe they're just not ready for the bandwidth, right, to handle that load. I don't know. I'd
Yeah.
be interesting to look at that, Mark. You know, to see why Solana's having these problems.
Yeah, I mean, it's funny because they were saying, like, you know, everyone was, when Solana first came out, they're like, oh, it's this super fast network, has the most transactions per second throughput, like 140,000, whatever, billion act. I don't know what's going on there because they need to find a solution. Because, I mean, think about it. We haven't even reached, like, scratched the surface of mass adoption yet, and it's already, like, failing, right? So, I mean, imagine if they onboard 1 million users tomorrow, like, it was going to crash, right? You know, so.
Well, that their market cap is almost, if you take the coin itself,
Oh, it's
it's
been
78,
pumping.
80 billion, but ETH is, you know, ETH is, you know, 5 times that.
Yeah.
And that's a testimony, I think, you know, in terms of value, it's certainly a testimony to the builders that are on Ethereum. I wonder how many developers are on the two, you know, that also that's a marker or key
Yeah.
indicator of the strength of the two platforms or
Oh
any
yeah,
platform.
I don't think you couldn't even make the comparison. I was like, because like if you look at total value locked, like TVL, Ethereum has by far the, you know, like exponentially more than any other network. I think Ethereum's at like 50 billion TVL or something ridiculous like that, and then like the next closest one's probably Arbitrum or something like that with like 3 billion TVL, like, or Binance like 3 billion TVL BNB chain. But yeah, you can't, and like the builders, that everyone, that's just the thing that like, I saw a message in one of my group chats today, and they were talking about, oh, you know, like L1, someone was asking like, what was people's opinion on Aptos? And it's like there's so many different of these like layer ones and these layer twos coming out, layer threes coming out, but the space, and like somebody had replied saying, you know, the space is just so saturated with all of these like L1s, L2s, and I think there were coming out of 2021. for a lot of losers in the L1, L2 space, right? And there was a lot of VC money that got sunk into these L1s, L2s that didn't go anywhere. Because, like, I think now, unless you have a very, very good use case for your L1 or L2 or whatever it is, you need to attract developers, like you said, and you need to attract liquidity, right? So,
Well, developers, liquidity is important. I mean, developers are one thing, but once they build something, are people using it on the other side? You know, once it's
exactly.
done, once they deploy it, is it
Yeah.
being used for whatever XYZ case, a business case?
Exactly. Yeah,
So
exactly,
this,
right? So you need both, you know.
I mean, but I'll let you talk about the article that you've looked at. But there's been two podcasts I listened to on the Athena thing, and what's happened is they put liquidity into, or MakerDAO has jumped all over this, and they're basically. A MakerDAO, if you go back to them, they basically are using Ethereum and Bitcoin to create liquidity and stake and pay percentage out. So Athena has created this, it's not a stablecoin, they call it a synthetic dollar.
Right. Yeah.
So what have you got to say about this? So it's interesting, there's a lot of controversy. And the guy from Athena said, look, we just want, we're not worried, we're not here to, oh, it's a different. So they were comparing Athena to what was that one that's that
Terra.
Terra Luna,
That's what I was just going to say. It's
and
funny that they said on the
he said
podcast. I
the
was just going to say
difference is
that.
the market's making the price
Yeah.
because the market is dictating the return or the liquidity, the leverage, what you get
Yeah.
on what you stake. And he said the difference is they were using their coin, the Terra Luna coin, to prop it up, and here we're
Yeah.
using ETH and Bitcoin to prop it up. They have
Yeah.
harvest.
I still think like it reminds me a lot of like the Terra, the Luna situation. I mean, here they're saying like as Athena, they're a synthetic dollar, they're using like derivatives, blah 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 blah. But I think like, everything always is nice and rosy in a bull market, but the true testament of like, will this asset survive is in a bear market, and that's exactly what happened with Luna, right? Because with Terra, because it was all great, everything worked in the bull market, but as soon as there was a bear market, it just collapsed, like
And
literally it collapsed, right?
that's the
And
point, right? So what happened? So you create what he was saying, and I again, it seems I can put that into the show notes because the Athena Labs guy was saying, well, what happens in is you put principal aside, you've got principal that when there is a down market and the rates go down, you've got to w weather the storm. You've got liquidity to let weather the storm, but yeah, it doesn't if they're using their own coin versus other coins. So I yeah, there's you're
yeah,
right.
but
It's
it's
probably very
like,
similar.
if you look at like the pairing with, so Maker, like what Maker does is it allows you to create a vault, so you can deposit like, collateral, so like say like Bitcoin, Ethereum, and I think they have like a few selected collaterals that you can deposit, and by doing that you can then mint your own stablecoin DAI, right? So that's kind of like how the Maker structure works. But now they're integrating with this synthetic dollar, where I think you can use the synthetic dollar as collateral, where they've kind of done this like cross promotion thing or whatever. But I think I look at it like in my opinion, it's like the true test of like, will this asset, and the thing is like it's a stable coin, right? So people are putting their money in, like if I'm putting my money into a stable coin, I'm putting it there because I don't want to lose my money, right? I want it to be the same value a year from now or like 6 months from now or whatever. But like, if 6 months from now, if I have my money in this synthetic dollar and it collapses and I've lost like $100,000, I'll be pissed, right? And that's what happened with Terra and Luna. People lost millions like overnight.
That's right.
Literally,
That's
like
right.
had millions of dollars. And like it wasn't even, I could see if you're sitting in like an asset, like you invested in some shitcoin or like something, and you're like, oh, I have $1 million, then tomorrow it like got rugged or whatever. But like if I have my money in like USDT or USDC or a stable coin, and I'm like, oh nice, I've got $1 million sitting there just chilling, in my account, and then I log in tomorrow and it's worth $0.
Worth
Like,
nothing.
imagine that, but for me, I would never even trust these things until I've seen them, like, has it survived a bear market, right? Because if people start withdrawing their collateral and you've got like all these restaking initiatives, and like, it could be a mess, right? And I think, like, for me, if I want to make sure my money is safe, I'm happy chucking it in USDC or like, especially USDC, because there was that time when it was like 2021 or 2022, when something happened with the Circle when it like lost value,
That's right.
whatever. And I think,
Yeah.
and what happened was like Circle actually put the money back. They backed it up, and they're like, "Hey, no, like people aren't going to lose money here. We'll reimburse you the money, right?" So I mean, like, you know, your money's safe if it's with Circle, right? It's not going anywhere. These things are just like sketch me out a little bit, you know.
Well,
I
these
don't
guys,
know.
so the, you know, before you and I mean, this is I'm certainly can't speak on the technical side, but the Chopping Block podcast, the episode that aired on I think a Wednesday or Thursday, they literally Haseeb Qureshi, Tom Schmidt, Tarun Chitra, and Robin Leshner, they do a leg go into real technical stuff, you know, the nuances with Avi, how's Avi's involved, MakerDAO, and this whole thing. So they'll get into that, and I would recommend any you, Mark, or anybody who listens to this, literally take it, listen to the Chopping Block, their latest episode. But in general, those guys do a wonderful job of unpacking some of these technical sides. So it's really, it was fun to listen to. I listened to it twice just to get, you know, get familiar. And they said the biggest thing here is the rates they're offering. MakerDAO is offering a tremendous staking reward. So you know, they talked a lot about that. So.
Yeah, you can see even here, like, right, this is their white paper. Look, like, right on their thing, it says, like, USDE is not the same as a fiat stablecoin like USDC, USDT. It's a synthetic dollar collateralized with crypto assets and corresponding short futures positions. This means that the risks involved are inherently different, right? So please see our extensive risks
Yeah,
section.
yeah.
So I would advise, like, anyone that's interested in, like, and that's, I think that's a lot of the problem is people don't really want to do the DD, or, like, they just don't care. And
Yeah.
they're like, hey, I'm just gonna chuck my money
They just
into the
jump on. They
like,
just jump
right?
on and stake it
Yeah.
and put
No, I
money
would
into
definitely do
it.
some DD if I was gonna put my money into this thing, and I wouldn't be like chucking all my money into it. But yeah, so that's that. And then just kind of moving past, I've been hearing a lot about Blast, and I hadn't really done enough like DD into it, so I kind of just went into it a little bit further. So this was a really good article that kind of explains a bit about like what Blast is and how essentially like the biggest difference between Blast and other Ethereum-based L2s is so they will pay yield on your stablecoin assets, and you don't need to stake it. It just, if you're holding stablecoin assets, I don't know if there's like a specific threshold or whatever, but they'll start giving you yield. It's not very much yield, it's like 4% or 5% or
Yeah.
whatever. But very interesting. I mean, it's an interesting concept, but I haven't really like, again, I haven't really, really dug into Blast just because, again, I don't see like there's so many L2s and L3s and L1. Like, it's just the fragmentation liquidity is just ridiculous. And I think at some point, like, it'll come to a head. But you can see here,
But
yeah, it's just.
it just hemorrhages the you know, just it dilutes the overall space versus,
Yeah.
and I guess what the one guy was saying is people once people start making money, he said everybody's rah 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 kumbaya in the beginning when there's a new thing, a new protocol coming out, and they kind of work together. And as soon as someone's making money, they just diverge, and they, you know, they, I mean, basically it's like you just said, it's so diluted or fragmented, just chasing the same few people, or chasing, they're trying to chase yield, right?
And that's exactly it, man. And like, the liquidity just moves from like, you know, L1 to L2,
Yeah.
whatever is given like the best
Yeah.
point farm or farming, you know, the one thing. And it's just, I don't know. It to me, it's just here, like, you can see L here versus the other L2s, right? So these are the other big ones, Optimism, Arbitrum. And what's the biggest difference is like it gives you native yield and shares gas revenue 100% to devs. Like, great. Like, how does that benefit me? It doesn't, you
Yeah.
know.
Yeah.
Like, so I mean, maybe with the native yield on stable coins, right? But like, when's the last time, if I'm holding like a significant amount of stable coin in my wallet, and for a long prolonged period of time, I'd most likely just put that into some kind of farming, like yield farming, where I'm actually getting like real yield from it, you know. But anyway, it's still, I know there's like a lot of liquidity and stuff going on, but anyway, so that's pretty much it. Yeah, this is just a little article
Well,
on.
Mark, we'll have to take a little break. We've run out of time on this segment, so we've got the
Okay.
we'll finish off with
Oh, cool.
funding
That's a big one.
announcements, and then last words from you.
Yeah,
But
fundraising.
so let's switch off, and then we'll come back on. All right, Mark, let's continue on now. We've had managed to get back on. I'm going to share my screen, and I've got a few funding announcements. Funny enough, I just need to find my where those are. I'm not used to this stuff, Mark. It's real technical for me. This kind of technical.
Technical difficulties.
I just because it's in Safari, so I need to go in my Safari. Okay, so
Fair enough.
I'm gonna read from two. First of all, for the first one, there's been a lot. Like it seems like every week there's at least three or four, and the biddlers or the builders and some of the people that fund them are coming into the news a lot these days. So 1KX is a blockchain fund focused on consumer crypto applications, and they raised $75 million. And some notables, of course, Andreessen Horowitz and Chris Dixon. I don't know if you've heard of Chris Dixon, but he's just incredible. He's written a book and he talks about the internet, but he brings all kinds of technology into his book. But he's talked about it. First time I heard him talk about the ERC 721 protocol, the ETF protocol, or the fungible token protocol. He's like, not ETF, the NFT protocol.
Yeah, was like,
this was 2000. It was 2019. I heard him talk about it, right? Maybe 18. And he was just saying, you know, it'd be great. One day you're going to be able to have digital assets, your real world assets on the blockchain, and gaming when you play gaming. This is Chris Dixon talking about it on a podcast. And he's saying, when, you know, gaming, you can take your winnings and over to, you know, your merch, your digital assets from one game to another. That's coming together because there's a funny announcement I saw earlier this week. I don't think I'm sharing it today, but anyway, their involvement there, they've been in Galaxy Digital. I think that's, is that, who's that? Who's the founder of it? What's his name? I can't remember that. Anyway, so there's a couple of, you know, Andreessen Horowitz is, or Mark Andreessen, they're, you know, they're big names in crypto. They've got a big crypto fund. So that's an endorsement to their, whatever they're doing, 1KX and whoever they're investing in. So it'd be interesting to see some of their portfolio coming through.
Interesting. Yeah. So cool to see what comes out of that.
So this is their, can you see, what am I seeing here? So you see their that's their network or that's their website. And then you can see their portfolio. I don't know where their portfolio is. A little bit
very
different.
Basic website. Maiden House Paparazzi.
Ideas we believe in. Wait, this could be it. That's probably their portfolio.
Yeah.
DeFi, NFT, infrastructure.
Here we go. Okay, yeah. Are we? Yeah.
So they've got quite a portfolio.
Oh, I think isn't there like consumer based?
Yeah.
I'm like, well, like Code for Arena is not consumer based. That's interesting. A Gitcoin.
Gnosis.
Okay.
You know, Gnosis, I read their way back in 2018. I read their white paper and they're like prediction algorithms or something, and they're still around. Gitcoin, of course.
Oh, Gnosis, they have their own chain, hey? And they have they've used to run Gnosis Safe. I mean, they still have it. It's called Safe now. It's not called Gnosis Safe anymore. But
So they've got a fairly mass. I mean, I don't know what their kind of investments, you know, how much they invest in these, but there's a lot, Mark. So if you're looking for funding, maybe, and there's Rarible. Oh, Rarible's in there.
Yeah, there you go.
Sandbox,
Rocket Pool.
Okay.
Very interesting. Siren, Spearbit. Oh, that's another auditor. Interesting. Yeah.
So these are, this is who they're backing in some way, shape, or form. So they seem to be portfolio disclosure. So they seem to be quite, they're touching a lot. Like they really have the kind of, I call it the octopus of funding. So let's go to the next one. So the next one on my is Ordinals Bot. And I mentioned it earlier regarding, these are the, on the Bitcoin network, it's kind of like NFTs for Bitcoin. So I'm just going to read from the funding announcement. Ordinals, a two-year London startup that allows users to attach various types of digital content like images, text, and video to individual Bitcoin transactions. So it's basically an NFT world, and there's a lot. I mean, I'm not showing my screen here, but who's funded them? They've got a lot. They're kind of a massive amount. Eden Block, Neural Capital, never even heard of these. WW Ventures. Lightning Ventures, Oak Grove Ventures. I've never even heard of some of these. So these are, you know, people, they could be just one individual, right? Like we've seen some of these VCs are just, you know, they basically, they've used this to get in, but there's one called London Real Ventures. I think they're quite big. So they seem to have a lot of, I guess their shareholders are a big cap. So let's look a bit at their Ordinals protocol. I don't know. It's just a basic website, right? I guess you can drop your files here and then they add it to your Bitcoin
transaction. Very interesting.
Yeah.
Okay. I haven't got enough into Ordinals at all, but that's pretty interesting. We'll see.
I mean, there's explore. I guess you can go and explore.
How exciting.
Right,
Not sure what those are supposed
and you have kids too, right? So I mean,
to be, but
okay, so
okay.
we're not gonna spend any time on that one. The next one's called Rails. I think you can. You mentioned. I think you said it'd be great to see when they come live. I don't think they're live yet, but I'm gonna read the funny
This is
announcement.
another, like, in my opinion, really saturated space, man. What network are they on? Like, anything that's trading like perpetual futures or especially like perps is like, oh my God, there's so much competition for that. Is it on like what network does it
Okay,
sit?
we can look at that. We'll go back. I'll go back to that in a second. I'll just read the funding announcement. So Rails, they're trying to position themselves as a decentralized crypto exchange to replace FTX, and they raised 6.2 million or 6 million round 13 capital in QuantStamp. I think QuantStamp's been around for a while, so in round
Both of those are
13.
pretty big names.
Yeah, so they've been funded by them. So there's not much we can say about their investors and
Yeah,
partners.
investors, partners,
There's the
constant,
there's the
same
quant stamp.
sensation
Join
ventures,
the wait list. So Mark, you can join the wait list and get the all
Interesting.
shall I enter your name now? No, that's just my
Signing up. You're giving the internet your email, Al? You're crazy, man.
go ahead, internet market maker. I'm a market maker. Okay.
That's it.
And join the wait list. I'm gonna
Make
join the
them.
wait
That's what
list,
they're looking
market maker.
for. They're gonna reach out to you really soon.
Success, you're on the list. We'll notify you as soon as Rails is ready to launch. Okay. All right, let's move to the next one, Mark. Key Ring. So Key Ring protocol, permissioning tools for compliant transactions on chain, powered by zero knowledge privacy,
Very liquidity.
meet regulatory requirements and unlock secure secondary liquidity. So I'll look at I'll re let me read the funding announcement. Key Ring, it's a London startup out of the UK. Building an on-chain compliance platform for institutional investors and protocols. I mean, gosh, raise the six. I get this is almost like mainstream stuff, right? On the blockchain, mainstream, kind of like what you know in TradFi. And I like them. One of their funding, Gummy Capital, or Gummy Cryptos Capital. I think you've heard of Gummy Cryptos Capital, Greenfield
Not
Capital,
sure.
and Kima Ventures. So these names come. I've seen some of these names before. So the Key Ring Network, I got it. This is very technical. Institutions
Yeah,
and
I'm very curious, like what this even, because they're saying like compliance tools for something
well,
for
probably regulatory, right? For
for
regulatory,
regulatory, and it's for
yeah.
institutional. So I'm not sure. I mean, I'm not an institutional investor or anything, so I couldn't really say. But very interesting. We
We
unlock
unlock
scale.
scale, our solution, admissions, permissioning,
Rule
zero knowledge
builder.
attestation, ZK.
Very interesting. I mean, zero knowledge, it, because you can make the transactions private, or like you can make the whatever the information, the data private. But interesting. I'm not sure exactly what the tool is, but
All right,
cool. Good to know.
let's move on. We've got another one, Fountain Tire. Oh no, next. This is the article, but that's
Okay,
Key.
ring.
So that's the article on Key Ring, crypto compliance platform. Key Ring raises 6 million. So that was the article, and I thought I'll put that in the show notes or the episode notes. Institution investment comes as regulatory bodies of key global financial hubs are setting rules for companies on how to interact with digital assets. So it's regulatory compliance.
Interesting. Curious how all that goes.
So the
Oh, there's
next one is
another crypto derivatives exchange.
there we
Oh
go, D2X, and I'll read the funding announcement because that's their website. They're Holland, Dutch-based or Amsterdam-based startup that has built a crypto derivatives exchange for institutions. So, right, I guess it's more ETF as those ETFs and the institutional money comes into play. This is building something for them to go on, and so instead of as an individual, they go as a corporate or an institution. They raised 10 million. Series A.
Yeah, well, I think they've got a, I don't know what an MIFID license is, but yeah, I mean, I think like there's so many competing platforms
Different.
already. It's like same with the L1s. It's like what's your, you know what I mean? Like what makes you special over everybody else? I guess they have like this license, which I'm assuming is like maybe a Europe license where they're allowed to like legally trade. I don't know, but yeah, very interesting.
So yeah, I don't. I mean, these are going to come up in each country. So the company aims to bridge the gap between TradFi and digital ecosystem. Initial product listing is set to feature cash-settled euro-denominated BTC and ETH derivatives. So,
yeah, seems like it's very institutional focused as well. And
all right, let's move on. There's so that's their website. Yeah. I guess that was the article for regular. So,
yeah, they're EU regulated, so I mean they're able to do that.
Our partners,
Black Scholes.
Mark, go ahead and get in touch. Mark,
yeah, get in touch, buddy. No. Hey, everyone, I don't want my name on there.
Okay, you don't want your name. Let's move to the next one. It's kind of like an article plus, you know, and so Umoja. Yeah. Umoja.
I don't know.
They raised $4 million seed.
Smart money.
And they're out of Atlanta, Georgia. I'm going to read the announcement first before I go to that. It's an Atlanta startup whose mission is to automate the buying, selling, and risk management of blockchain-based assets. They raised $2 million seed from one of the blockchain founders fund, Orange DAO, Hyperthum, Salion, and Blizzard Fund by Avalanche. Avalanche's fund, so it's called Blizzard Fund. So they've got some, you know, big name. Coinbase has also backed them. So looks like market, you know, these guys are, as you said, maybe it's just another thing. Pioneering smart money protocol enables money to trade itself, protects against risk, and optimize yields.
Interesting.
Just
I'm curious to know what that, like, what does that consist of? Well, they're backed by Coinbase. Interesting. Quantum, Blockchain Founders Fund, Orange DAO. Well, some big names are,
I think you could, Mark, you should reach out to Robbie Greenfield, the former head of social impact at Consensus, because Consensus is that Canadian.
Oh, yeah, they're connected. Robbie Greenfield. Interesting.
But Consensus is that, you know, the Ethereum co-founder, out of Toronto, his name, God, he started Consensus, but they've got, I don't know where they're at today, but I remember back in 2018, they had like 50, 60 projects under their ring. I'm sure they're, I like to look at Consensus again, but it looks like,
yeah, they've got lots, man. They're backing all kinds of stuff.
Yeah. Okay. Let's, one, and the last one I've got for you, Mark, I think it's the last one. The world's first smart money protocol.
Yeah.
Oh, that's Umoja.
I'm just curious to know, like, how does that work? Like, how are they even, like, getting strategy?
Mark, you can,
but
you can
I'm
get
sure
the
they must have something.
You can go for the airdrop. Okay.
Interesting.
Oops,
yeah.
I just lost something else because it's the screen. My screen over here. Yeah. So I think that's my last one.
Yeah.
Umoja was the last one. So, Mark, that covers the funding, but that, I think there was probably had 7 or 8 more over the last couple, 3, 4 weeks. You know, it's not 7 or 8 more, but it's incredible, the space. And I don't think it's because the price is at 30,000, 40,000, 50,000, 60,000. I think it's because people continue building and then they get funding for where they're at from the, you know, the, I mean, it was a tough time, 2022, 23, right? Crypto winter was.
Yeah, that was, I mean, that was definitely a bear market then, you know, but yeah.
Well, that's it for today, Mark. Any last words, any parting words for the swap across?
Yeah, hopefully we'll have product live this week. We'll see. Fingers crossed. But stay tuned for the, nice.
The cat protocol. She's part of the new cat
protocol.
Yeah,
there you go. Cat with hat.
She will bring in the.
That's what we need to do, Al. We need to launch. You know, there's dog with hat. We need cat with hat.
You take a whiff. I don't know that whiff coin, Mark. I don't know that when you launch Anus coin, the whiff coin will go. That'll be a natural pairing, a digital
twin.
Yeah,
I think so, right? Whiff, twin. Anus, and whiff.
Mark, have a great week. We'll see you on the flip side, the crypto. Hopefully, we're going to see you know, more positive things from crypto over the coming weeks.
Sounds good, buddy. Good catching up, man.
All right, you too.
See you later.